This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, April 15th. Well, the wheat markets yesterday were the leader to the upside, and it was a strong day across the whole complex. Wheat, the winter wheat's not into new contract highs, but a strong day nonetheless. And that pushed Minneapolis into new contract highs, corn into new contract highs, and soybeans not into new highs, but certainly getting a nice little bounce tagging along with that. So a couple things going on. Of course, you've got the weather situation in South America. That's definitely underpinning the corn market, where the Brazilian second season corn crop, which is the biggest by far of their exports of corn, they got it in late, a good 3 weeks late. So that there was the risk there that it would push it into the normal seasonal dry period as you get into the late season. And that is occurring. It does appear that those rains are starting to fade away, and we're still well early into the growing season. So it's going to push the pollination for that second season corn, again, about 3 weeks late and into more of the dry season. So that already is starting to create some significant concern around the broader world marketplace. Here in the U.S., we didn't show much sign that planted acres were going to be very high, certainly not to what the trade was looking for. And here too, we're looking at some cool temperatures well into late April across much of the Midwest. That's going to slow down seeding, it's going to slow down germination. So just some concern starting to show up there for production potential here. And of course, any hint that you would have some yield declines is going to send the market racing higher, because it's just such a strong bull demand-driven market that you simply cannot afford to have any production problems, really, for that matter. But in wheat, getting back to what we normally talk about here, the rumblings that Russia is ramping up the number of troops on the Ukraine eastern border, that is creating a lot of headaches, not only from a political standpoint, but it raises a potential for sanctions against Russia, not only from us, but from the rest of the world as well. And that would certainly cut into their exports. And they're already looking at a pretty hefty tax on exports, even though they've kind of accommodated for that and have been a much bigger presence in the world market. That certainly would create an issue. And also, their new sanctions that the U.S. is imposing on them for interference in the 2020 election. With Russia being the world's largest wheat exporter and thus the world's price setter in wheat, you know, their hefty tax bumps up world prices just by itself. The pretty strong prospect that you would have some pushback against Russian buying or buying of Russian exports of wheat does raise the prospect that you'll just see more business come to the United States. You know, we raise hard red winter wheat just like they do, just like Argentina does, but you know, Argentina's sales have slowed way down, and with Russia becoming less of a player, it just pushes the market to the United States. We're also looking at some developing dryness in Europe. The big producers of France and Germany, the maps are showing us pretty extended subsoil dryness. So topsoil is okay at the moment, but if you miss one or two good timely rains, all of a sudden you have a crop that's starting to stress. So the market is noting that as well. Here in the U.S., it's a pretty similar situation, frankly, where subsoil moisture is lacking in much of the hard red winter wheat country. But a month ago, we had two big systems move through the plains that, for the most part, saved the crop and got it off to a great start. And we're pretty close to, you know, being close to harvest in the far southern part of Texas already. I know it seems unlikely, but you know, we're well into the growing season in central Kansas, and so far it looks okay. Crop condition ratings improve slightly, but again, the far western plains that were, you know, it's perennially dry. If you miss one or two good rains, then all of a sudden it just changes the trajectory of what's going on for hard red winter wheat. And of course, there's the northern plains, which we talked about quite a bit, the dryness and the intense drought that has developed across the eastern half of Montana, at least, if not the two-thirds, and then all of North Dakota, almost all of South Dakota, well into the Canadian prairies, and well into western Minnesota, and creeping into Iowa, for that matter. So it's a spring wheat country. It's Durham country, and many of the other spring crops, oats, barley, that all of that is on the chopping block when it if this drought continues in the Northern Plains, and it does look to be pretty well entrenched. The broader concern, of course, is that it creeps into the western Midwest, which is already, Iowa had a very dry late summer and fall, and now you look at the weather maps and you see that the subsoil moisture conditions are still quite dry across much of Minnesota, western Iowa, again, North Dakota, South Dakota. This is big corn and bean country, and if that drought expands, then obviously you've just got a bigger problem. So corn is on point. There's a reason it's pushing into new contract highs in mid-April. They're trying to buy as many acres as they can, and I think that's just the case. The longer you can see these plantings delayed, the more that market just holds tough. And of course, you got the Brazilian weather problems going on at the same time. So it's a very touchy situation. It follows on the heels of a long-term demand-driven bull market, largely stoked by China, but that doesn't mean that it's all going to end overnight. In order to replenish stocks and be at a comfortable level, you need a big crop around the northern hemisphere this year, and the plantings don't suggest that that's going to happen. We'll see if that changes on the June 30th plantings report, but that's a long time away. So the market is scrambling, trying to secure acres, trying to get them in, and trying to buy those acres. And it does appear to me that corn probably is pretty close to some sort of a reaching its point here, where it's just going to stall out and see what weather brings. I felt with the March 31 plantings report, a very bullish report, that would set the tone, that would establish the high, that next leg up would be the high. When we didn't get much follow through after a couple days up, it seemed to me that potentially would have suggested that was our high, and that was shortly after the report was released. But then markets kind of chopped around, and we're continuing to push higher. I still think, though, that this is the we should be running into some intermediate term highs here fairly quickly. We're only about a nickel away from the targets on December corn. So just being careful here that you get too much ahead of ourself heading into the growing season. It's still mid-April. You got plenty of time to get the corn crop in. We just need some warmer temperatures, and those will come. It doesn't look like you're going to have deluges of rain to slow things down. So that's should allow producers to get in the field and get the crop planted in a fairly quick manner. Export sales this morning, wheat kind of disappointing at 219,000 tons. That was below the low end of the range of estimates from 350 to 750. So this is going to drag us down a little bit further from reaching USDA's estimates. So the first half of the year, we were on a rapid clip, well ahead of USDA's projections, and that has since backed off significantly. Part of the pressure on the sales number was China canceling 130,000 tons of new crop wheat, 65 of white wheat and 65 of hard red winter wheat. So that's not a bullish development, obviously. The unknown also canceled 31,000 of hard red spring wheat. So there's probably China is that as well. That's China for you. They'll buy a bunch and then they'll cancel it if they decide they don't need it. But they're always going to be covering their bases, and they don't honor contracts. You can't trust them. But they always, big purchases by them, stokes the market, but you always have to make sure that it actually arrives in China. And that's when you know that they're actually going to keep it. In corn export sales, 380,000 tons, there too, below the low end of the range of estimates from 500,000 to 1.2 million. There too, China had some cancellations. They canceled 24,000 outright, and unknown canceled 380,000 of corn. In soybeans, 356,000 total sold. That was within the range of expecting minus 100 to 700,000 sold. Of course, we're starting to accommodate the rollover from old crop into new crop. China did cancel 55,000 tons of old crop. but they bought 264,000 tons of new crop, and unknown canceled 45,000 tons of old crop. So we're starting to see that, the rolling over, but we're also seeing some net cancellations coming out of China, not only for corn, but also for wheat. So here, moving forward, again, I think corn's pretty close to, you know, a high here. It's going to settle down and see what the weather does. But even so, I think pullbacks are buying opportunities. It's just, I don't see the bull market ending until you are assured of production. And that's at least until after pollination. So that's a couple months down the road yet. And I think that, you know, the pullbacks will be well supported. Wheat, winter wheat might have more of a trouble here, of course, as you get into early May. Already now you're starting to talk about the harvest gearing up by the end of May. And, you know, it's hard with those two key rains were very important. Even if it turns dry, that'll be supportive, but it won't be like a raging bull market or weather market in hard red winter wheat. I could see that developing in spring wheat. In fact, it seems to be already developing. And I could see that Northern Plains drought stretching into the Midwest. That's not unusual. And the market is already talking about it. And it's already creeping into Minnesota, Iowa. So it wouldn't take that much for it to really blow up on us. But a dry spring actually probably gets more corn acres into the Midwest. So you just want to be cautious of that. But by and large, I think pullbacks are buying opportunities. The way to trade this, especially from corn and bean perspective, is just some out-of-the-money call options. In case you get a weather market, this thing is off to the races. For wheat, Minneapolis will be your leader to the upside. I don't see the drought being alleviated. We know how the Northern Plains can go, and especially when it's this dry, this early, it's difficult to change the trajectory. So that's why I think that's going to be stuck there, and the weather forecast kind of are hinting that as well, and that could easily stretch over into the Midwest. So those are the things we're looking at. It's a bull market, and we'll get our pullbacks, but I think we need to be pretty quick about getting on board if you want to try to be long in this grain complex through the growing season. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.